T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
What's up? It's your boy, the Ben Smith. Thanks for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast. Want more? Check out the greatest podcast in all the land, The Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and listen to a brand new episode every Tuesday night.
The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill, 99.9 KISW.
All right, coming up, we will drink, we will toast for the weekend, and it's Bad Choice Friday time.
This is your fault.
And a 25 from 50 inspire Bad Choice Friday, as this weekend, both Saturday and Sunday, Ryan Castle will feature the top 25 bass players in the 50-year history of KISW. Neither one of these bands will appear, but they deserve a little credit. Give it up for D-Li. This is a slide whistle song.
There's not a lot of those.
Yeah, I know. It's like 4 or 5 of them. This is probably the most prominent slide whistle song I know.
I don't know, Sir Duke, Stevie Wonder.
That's another good one. D-Li Groove is in the Heart, taking on the Bee Gees. Here's how you vote on Bad Choice Friday. Just follow us on Twitter at Men's Room Live. Get there and vote. One of those two tunes coming up right after we drink and toast in the weekend with a shot of the day. Will it be D-Lite? Will it be the Bee Gees? Our question, who got punked by a really good prank? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Aaron. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Boo, Mitches. Happy Friday.
Boo.
So, the short story is, a buddy of mine who owns his own company was flying to New York to do some business, asked if I wanted to accompany him. All expenses paid. He was picking up the flights, drinks, food, hotel, everything. And the reason being is that he needed me or wanted me to attend his uncle's wedding. And so I'm all in. So we go to New York, and he's talking about this wedding that we've got to go to. It's his dad's brother's kid, who's kind of like a black sheep of the family. So the punchline is, it ended up being Tony and Tina's wedding, an off-Broadway kind of show, dinner theater thing. I had no clue, because he sold it the whole time that it was a real deal, and I didn't realize that I was in the middle of a play, basically, until probably an hour into the wedding itself.
That seems awfully elaborate, man.
He bought a gift and literally brought it on the airplane.
So just to punish you at this wedding?
Correct. Okay. Yeah. And I don't know if you guys know the premise of this wedding. It's basically like a mafia wedding.
I don't know if I've ever heard of anything like this.
No.
Yeah, it is so... They greet you. It's like going to a real wedding, but it's like the Sopranos. Like, they're greeting you outside as you walk in, and they acted like they knew them. And so it just worked. It's hard to explain. But then they get into these family squabbles during the wedding itself. It's like literally watching a movie. And then you're in the bathroom. I was in the bathroom, and these guys were talking about doing a cocaine deal and having to whack somebody. And it was so real to me until it just got so overblown that I figured it out. And they, basically admitted to it.
What gave it away? Like, first, what are you thinking when you're hearing this conversation in the bathroom?
I think it wasn't that. I think that happened after I figured it out. But it was, I think when somebody, you know, you had two sides of the audience at the wedding. So you had the groom side and the mom side, or the bride side, and they started arguing back and forth, and they got, you know, there's actors positioned out in the wedding party. And so, you know, obviously it's a wedding party, but there's people in the seats that are part of the theater. And so it just, they just, you know, they pulled it off. I was fooled.
Damn.
But it was pretty fun time. And,
okay.
And then after, at the end of it, they actually do a dinner. So you're like at the wedding reception, and they still stay in character throughout the whole thing.
Damn. All right. Well, hey, at least you're entertained. You know what I mean? I mean, if you're going to prank somebody.
That is insane.
That is crazy.
It's kind of fun, though. I would not put that much time and effort into a prank, but I like it.
Who got punked by a really good prank? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Stacy. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey.
Hola.
Hola.
So my mom and her best friend's husband were, like, always pulling pranks. But my mom took it a little too far when she put his house up for sale.
Oh.
But she, yeah, and it was in the 80s. It was like, you know, $50,000 for this beautiful house with a pool. But you only had to call between 1 a.m. and 5 a.m. because he worked swing shifts.
Oh, damn.
Where did she put this? Where did she put this ad up?
Seattle PI. She was banned for life for classifieds after that.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, yeah, I guess I can understand that.
Yeah.
How long did the ad run?
Oh, not that long. It was like 3 days before he finally got it taken down.
Now, let me ask you a question. Because a lot has changed in Seattle since the PI was even in existence as a newspaper. Was the house, was that a really good deal for $50,000, or was that market value? In other words, was this the 80s, and that was probably maybe an actual price, or was that ridiculously low?
It was ridiculously low. It was priced to sell, you know, 6 bedrooms with the swimming pool.
That is pretty good.
How many calls do you think this guy got?
He said he got between 30 and 40 between those hours every day.
That is great. That is a good one, man. I don't know if I've ever done that, but not above that.
No.
Yeah, Miles, I'll put your car up for sale. That's where your phone keeps blowing up.
Great. That's why it's gone.
Dude, my buddy's ex-wife just put his number, on Craigslist or something. Free mini horse.
Free mini horse.
Correct.
Now, did she do this out of spite, or are they funny?
Spite.
Oh.
Okay, so...
Does he have a mini horse?
No.
Okay.
So how many calls has he gotten?
Oh, hundreds.
And does he...
And
it's been
going on for weeks. And he took it down as quick as he could, but it's been going on for like 2 weeks now.
Now, how has he identified that she is the person responsible for this?
Oh, she's evil. She told him.
Oh, she did tell him?
Yeah.
Huh.
Is there any legal recourse to this, or is he just like, look, man, you know, just go away?
It's a whole complicated thing, but yeah, like she knew he wouldn't do anything to her.
Right.
Right. So, like, legally.
Is he deserving of this?
No.
No. This is completely
I'm dead set. Like, I know a lot of people go like, oh, my buddy's ex is crazy, but like, this woman is crazy.
Okay. She sounds crazy. It's just a free mini horse.
Free mini horse, and it was like, man, she put something else in there too. Or, you know, like, maybe
so does
like
he even answer the phone anymore when he sees an unidentified number, or is he just like, it's another one of those calls?
Well, it's not just that. It's like his email's getting blown up and
God.
I mean, if it was a prank, it would have been done very well. But she did it just out of pure spite.
But see, here's the difference. It's a prank if you're still married. When you're divorced, now it's revenge, right?
Yeah.
Damn. That's funny, though. Free mini horse. That is
not- I mean, look, he laughed about it, but then, like, 2 weeks later, he's like, I'm still getting calls.
Who got punked by a really good prank? 206-421-RUN.
Just come by and take it. Hello, Kyle. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
So, this is not something that I did. I had a girl that I used to date a long time ago. This is, I'm going to say, mid-90s. And she told stories about when she was in high school in Chicago. She was from Chicago. She discovered that Judge Joe Brown is filmed in Chicago, and she dreams up this Saul-created naked bike ride. She calls up Joe Brown, leaves a phone number, leaves a message that her friend borrowed her bike for the naked bike ride, and she agreed to it as long as if the bike's hurt or broken or anything, because you're going to get drunk and you're going to break my bike, I know it. Leaves this message. 2 hours later, Judge Joe Brown's producers call back And yeah, we'd love to have you on the show. This was from Portland, Oregon. Flew her and a friend of hers out of Portland to Chicago in a hotel, put them in a room, everything, put them on the TV show and everything. She got a free trip all the way to Chicago, made up the whole thing.
How did Judge Brown rule in the end?
Well, from what she tells me, Judge Brown was more interested and more like wanted to know about the naked bike ride. It was kind of a newer phenomenon. I guess he hadn't heard about it.
That's fair.
He was asking details, but yeah, of course he settled for her, and it was like $250 worth of damage to my ex, blah blah blah. Bicycle.
So your girlfriend's friend was in on this as well, right?
Yes. Oh yeah, yeah. She had called, left the message, and then called a friend of hers and said, I've got this thing, and you gotta go with me. We're going to Chicago.
So basically, she pranked Joe Brown into getting a free trip back to Chicago.
Exactly, yeah, to go visit her friend, a separate friend that lives in Chicago. Yeah, she said that they didn't put the episode on television because her friend that had gone with her was really nervous about being on TV and thought they were going to get caught, and he drank like 3 Red Bulls over breakfast. And was just a nervous wreck, but Judge Brown was all interested in knowing about the naked bike ride, and it didn't turn out to be like a good television episode, but they got a free ride to Chicago and a hotel and the whole thing.
Nothing wrong with that. Yeah, and nobody had to pay $250.
Yeah, I like that, man. Mm-hmm. That's not so bad.
Who got punked by a really good prank? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Lee. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitch, hola.
Hola.
So, a few years back, I was working in a shipyard, and we had this guy who would get really upset at the smallest little thing. So some guys decided to prank him they took all this food out of his lunchbox. At least they were nice enough to do that. And then they went down on the dock, and they caught a seagull by hand and stuffed it in his lunchbox. And it sat there probably for about a good half an hour or so before we came to first break. And this was a pretty big fellow, so he was always really excited about getting a sit down and eat lunch at break. And so, of course, he pops open this cooler, and out comes this really ticked off seagull and just goes crazy all over him. And, of course, he's cussing and ranting and raving. Yeah, good times.
Did the seagull attack him?
Yeah, from what I understand, it came out, got at him, and then, of course, tried to flop around and get out of there. But, you know, he's right there hovered over, and like I said, he's a big guy, so I don't think he was able to move out of the way fast enough.
Man, look, there's two animals I realize you don't mess with because all their friends join. And it's just from watching videos. There's one, I can't remember what this was, but a guy, he's on a pier. There's a single seagull. I don't remember what he's doing to kind of agitate the seagull, but he does it. But it's just him and this one seagull. And this seagull starts squawking, all right? And, I mean, it looks like 400 freaking seagulls start aiming at this guy. He starts running down the pier. He's trying to get under a roof now. And they just unload a torrential downpour of poop on. So keep in mind, he's messing with one seagull. I don't know what the seagull said, man. It does this squawk, and you see like four, out of nowhere. And it's just raining white down on this guy. And then the other one, monkeys. They showed some guy was like Thailand or whatever it was, but he thought it'd be funny. Like taps his friend on the shoulder. There's a monkey sitting on the edge of like a stairway banister or something, but it's not looking at him, so he pushes the monkey in the back. The monkey falls off the banister. Falls like 3 feet. This monkey starts making the monkey sound, right? I swear to God, 75 goddamn monkeys come out of nowhere, chase this dude down, and basically beat his ass.
One of the best ones. You've seen the seagulls on laxative thing?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
That is tremendous. That's a YouTube classic. Basically, these kids.
You haven't seen this, Mike?
No.
Come on. You got
to
see this.
These kids, basically, what they do is they decide to stuff a bunch of food with laxative pills.
Oh, God.
Okay?
And then
they feed them, like, whatever they stuff with. I can't remember if it's French fries or hamburgers or whatever the deal is, but they've all potato chips, you name it. But they put laxatives in all the food, right? So you can see them putting the pills in all these little things of Pringles. And then they take that out, and then the seagulls, of course, they have their day, right? And then all hell breaks loose in the boardwalk, man.
Instantly.
It's insane. I mean, like, they start
just
flying.
Just watch the beach.
But they are crapping on everyone. I mean, the entire beach.
Oh, no.
Like they're just pooping on everybody.
No.
What is that? Is that Venice Beach?
The old people.
It looks that way, doesn't it? Look, everybody's running off. They're running away.
Oh, the cop.
Cop's gotten crapped on. Tremendous. Who got punked by a really good prank? 206-421-ROCK.
Never gets old. Hello, David. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
How you guys doing?
We're doing great, man. Positive Friday.
There you go. Well, my prank story kind of goes back a few years when I was a teenager. We used to play like hide and go seek on the whole block. And one of the neighbors, because we were messing around in their backyard, hiding and doing stuff, called the cops on us. So the next time my buddies were over, we switched patio furniture with the other neighbor. So I just loved seeing the look on their face when they looked out their slider and saw it. Their neighbor's patio furniture in their yard.
that's pretty cool.
So, and that's an easy one.
No harm, no foul. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, you know, it was like we snuck out at like 2 o'clock in the morning or whatever it was. And we're just like, it was my buddy's idea. He's like, dude, this is how we get him back. So it was kind of a get back prank. But unfortunately, the other neighbor was casually at war on that one.
How so?
Well, because they didn't have anything to do with it, and we switched their furniture.
Oh, right.
Their neighbor's furniture.
I wonder if they were the first to find it and discover it, too.
I don't know. I have no clue. It was switched back. We checked, like, a couple days later. Like, okay, they switched it back. So they figured it out, but it was just fun.
Initially, you just think to yourself, the neighbors just stole our lawn.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
that's great. Who got punked by a really good prank? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Sparky. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello, gents. How's it going?
Hola.
So, yeah, many moons ago, back in college, my girlfriend at the time was on a water ski team, and she had a big meet the next day, and so she decided to go to bed early. Well, I was drinking heavily and got this brilliant idea after she had fallen asleep to take all of her bra, underwear, and swimsuits, get them really wet, and throw them in the little mini dorm freezer that night. So the next morning, she wakes up at like 5 in the morning, and she starts going through all her drawers. She goes, "Some pervert stole all my bras and underwear." And I'm still kind of drunk, and I roll over and go, "Huh, look in the freezer." She opens it up, and a slew of expletives come out of her mouth. And she runs out, and there was just one solid block of ice.
Oh. How much longer did she date you?
Well, she's married to me now.
Oh, really?
Oh, all right.
For some reason, she didn't kick you out forever?
Oh, no, she got me back.
What did she do?
Well, it's been a long run of pranks back and forth, but I think one of the worst ones was we were down in Mexico, and we were having dinner one night. And of course, we had drinks before we went out, and we're sitting there, and I'm having surf and turf. And next thing I know, I feel like I'm in the eighth grade math class, and I'm really angsty, and I'm getting real excited. And it's good surf and turf, but it's not that good. And I look up at her, and she makes eye contact, and she laughs at me, and I know the laugh. It's this mischievous laugh.
What did you do?
And she goes, "Oh, I put the especial de la dia in your drink before we left." And I go, "What's the especial de la dia?" And she's like, "Oh, it's generic Viagra."
Oh.
Was she doing that for her own benefit, or was she doing that, you know what I mean?
Oh, no, it was a double kill. She definitely lost later on, but it was funny at the dinner. I had to do the waistband tuck and, you know, make it to the bathroom and back. And so,
you're saying that you started getting excited at dinner?
Yeah, it's an eighth grade boy.
Oh, I didn't know.
So let me ask you this.
Flush, you got that weird headache. Your forehead gets all red.
Because in Mexico,
a 25-year-old guy doesn't need Viagra.
And also, in Mexico, gotcha. I don't know that I've ever worn long pants. So how much more difficult was it wearing shorts, I'm guessing, when you have a raging erection?
It's pretty tough. You got to kind of, you know, bend at the waist and, you know, put your hands in your pockets, pull out all the stops.
So, Ted, you're saying that you get, when you take this stuff, how long does that last, headaches and stuff?
I mean...
Yeah, Viagra, like a couple times I've
Like, I've done other ones, but that one always gives me, like, a headache. Huh, and, like, get really? Real red and flush.
Well, you got to figure it was designed, what, for blood pressure yeah, exactly. initially? So that makes a little bit of sense. Flow.
Yeah, some of the other ones are right, but, yeah, whatever. That one's like, oof.
Because that Weekender, I didn't even realize I was on it. I mean, because we didn't find out. We all took one of the other one, and I got the one that was the three-day one, which was, like, Cialis or something like that.
Something like that.
But there was a placebo in the mix. So somebody got a placebo, or maybe we didn't get a placebo, but we just didn't know which one we took.
Yeah.
So I had no idea. I mean, apparently I could have gone all weekend if I wanted to.
Not if you wanted to.
Yeah, I also think sometimes with that stuff, is it placebo?
I don't know. Yeah,
I mean there's obviously people medically that need them. Don't get me wrong, it's a great drug.
Sure.
But I also think for a lot of people, for me, I can just outthink the little fella.
Yeah.
Honestly, you just should I mind him, you know what I mean?
Right, it doesn't matter what liquor you're drinking, but for some reason, if I drink a shot of tequila, I'm like, all right, not having sex tonight, nothing's going to work.
I feel that way with whiskey.
Oh, I got
you. Yeah, okay. And I don't, right, and I'll drink two shots of whiskey, be fine, but for some reason, if it's tequila, I'm really? Like, oh, I'm out.
Yeah, whiskey's my thing. Like, come on, man!
Who got
She's
punked?
Horny!
By a really good prank, too.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
6421 Rock.
The men's room is in progress.
About a half hour from now, 420, we'll give you the secret word. Your chance to go to KISW.com and put that word in there. We'll take us to see Tool at the Tacoma Dome in January. So 420, that's when we'll give you the phrase of pays.
What are the crappy radio things that we said?
That's the one I remember the most.
Phrase of pays. The word of the day.
The secret word.
You like to have a rhyme. That's why phrase the pays seem to stick now everywhere.
Sometimes I rhyme stuff and I don't mean to.
It's a code word, yeah. Like what?
That means you're cool.
Like yesterday, I was all fired up and I was talking to somebody and I rhymed something. I went, I didn't mean that to rhyme.
Mm-hmm. That's the worst time to rhyme. Yeah. You know what I mean? You're screaming, man. You're trying to make a point. Like, God damn it.
Call that the Jesse Jackson.
Yeah.
Our question today, who got punked by a really good prank? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Justin. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
So about probably 17 years back now, I used to work at a construction company. We used to prank all the new guys when they'd show up. You know, that old fax paper, that really filmy stuff. We used to print money out on that and drop that in the porta potty.
Bless you.
And,
okay.
People used to, and all the new guys reach in there, grab it, come out, wash their hands off. All that ink would come off, and they'd just freak out. one of the days that we decided to do it, the president of the company showed up. And he ended up using that porta potty. He went right in, came out, arm completely full, flinging it off, went over, rinsed his hand off. He was mad.
Was he mad because you pranked him? Was he mad because it wasn't real money? Or was he mad because you're screwing off during work?
He was probably mad because it was not real money.
Man, it's like those fake lottery tickets. I mean, it's usually funny to watch people's response, but there's a dude in England, there's a scratch-off, the guy scratches it, he hits for like $10 million, mm-hmm. whatever it is. But so the coworkers know that it's a gag because they'd all done it to each other. He just got there a little later, right? So they weren't really setting him up specifically, but he scratches his ticket. The first thing he does is push his chair away from the desk, jump on top of the desk, start telling all his coworkers what he honestly thinks of them, like, Susan, you're an effing whore. I mean, goes through everybody, says something about the boss, and they're like, bro, you should take a closer look at the ticket. He realizes it's fake. He just kind of looks up, man, just grabs his stuff and leaves.
Ted, you gave me one of those, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah, where do you get those?
I can't
you
remember.
Son of a bitch. I was just going to want, like, can it you showed, get that? Like, shouldn't that be, like, available, like, at Spencer's or something? Like, fake winning lottery.
Somehow we got it, right? And we were just like, Right, because you play scratch-offs all the time.
So all the time.
We got, right, we got to leave it for Miles.
Mm-hmm. I got,
it'd be funny with a lot of people, but you just scratch, like, that's the best.
They got me once at our old job back in Baltimore. This guy, Drip, that we used to work with, and his boy, Scamponi, right? And we're all in the office talking about whatever, and it was Scamponi goes, hey, man, I got some extra scratch. You want one? I'm like, yeah, sure. So we're just talking. I scratch. It did not occur to me that neither of them were scratching. And I looked down, and it said I won $10,000. And I'm just like, holy yes, blah, 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 blah. I'm going to kill both of them. I will kill both of you, man.
I mean, this wasn't a prank. This was a real one. But I worked at this liquor store, right?
Okay.
And there was a few regulars. So it was half liquor store, half bar.
Right.
Probably the worst bar in College Park. But there was a guy that would come in. I remember his name, Steve. I won't say his last name. He worked with my mom. He had a real, like, high, scratchy voice. he was a big man. It was a strange thing. So one day, some dude in front of another regular had bought a scratch-off and got $1,000 a month for life.
Jeez.
Okay. But every time this other guy came into the bar, Steve would walk behind him and go, $1,000 a month for life. It would, like, to the point of, like, we'd be like, Steve, shut up.
Right.
Like, it's bad luck, okay? You didn't get the ticket. He did.
Leave the man
alone. But just
alone.
Right, it was every time.
Jesus. Do his voice again.
I'm trying to remember how to do it. I could call my mom. She could probably do it. Like literally, if you went to that area in College Park or to anybody that ever worked at the AFL-CIO and said, do you know Steve, blah, 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 they'd be like, yes.
Oh, with that kind of voice? Like, yes.
I mean, look, you know I support labor unions. My man never did it. Never went back to work, and he wasn't close to retirement after September 11th.
Really?
Oh, really?
He played that one?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, bro.
My mom worked there for another 15 years.
Who got punked by a really good prank? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Susan. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola. Happy Friday.
Hola.
Positive Friday.
Hey, I was a maintenance worker, and I worked with all guys, and my boot was squeaking. We had to wear steel toes, and at the ball of my foot, my boot was squeaking every time I took a step. And so one of the guys told me that I could go to Coastal and get some oil, and you put it in a syringe, and you put it right between the sole of the boot and the boot, and that'll, you know, make it stop squeaking. So I go to Coastal, and I ask the gal at the desk, and she'd never heard of it either. Takes me back to where it would be located. We're looking around. I should have known something was up when all the guys showed up there too, kind of meandering around. They were videotaping me because there's no such thing. All of a sudden, I heard him just cracking up because we were looking so hard for it. And, yeah, they thought that was hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever get them back?
Yeah, I did. One of the guys, we went to lunch, and they had tampons in a basket inside the bathroom. So I took one, and I tied it around the guy's hitch in the back of his truck. And he drove all over with that tampon wrapped around his hitch. But then he put it back on mine and put red dye on it.
Ah.
He drove anywhere.
Yeah. One upmanship.
Right.
So did your boot just
get them back?
Did your boot just squeak for the rest of the time that you had to wear them?
Yeah, I finally got new ones. Hey,
let me tell you something. I don't know what it is, but our very own Miles Montgomery. Mm-hmm. It does not matter what pair of shoes he wears. Now, keep in mind, I don't know what material they put on the hallway outside of our office. If you wear shoes, they're going to squeak. But every once in a while, they don't. But Miles' shoes, you're like the anti-ninja.
Oh, no. I can't figure it out.
Yesterday.
I'm squeaky today.
Are you squeaky today?
Yeah.
I think it's running shoes.
These shoes specifically squeak.
Just taking a look.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is amazing.
Oh, those are nice.
And squeaky.
They are squeaky here.
Are those Nike?
They are Nikes.
Okay, let me ask you this. Do they squeak anywhere else? Because that's the one thing that Miles and I figured out, is that when your shoes squeak in this hallway, it's not your shoes, man. This hallway makes every pair of shoes squeak. It makes no goddamn sense.
I think these, just the way they're built, they're a little squeaky, but I have one pair that squeak nowhere else except the hallways here. You can hear me coming a mile away.
2 weeks ago, they decided across the street at the Columbia Tower that they were going to wash and buff the red tiled sidewalk that they have and all the entrances, right?
Okay, yeah.
All right.
They did not rinse this stuff off. It's soaked.
Oh, right? God.
So then it soaks in. So now we walk to on the sidewalk, you stick to the damn thing. The entire end, like.
Like, Jesus Christ,
but then
guys.
You walk into any building until all the adhesive gets off, you're that guy.
Dude, speaking of maintenance crews, right? So I'm working on the night crew. Janitors. So I love chicken wings. It's a Friday night, and they're like, Ted, come down. We got some leftover wings. Perfect. Right. And we were talking about Cluck You the other day.
Yes.
So I go down there, like, sit at the table. Like, nobody's playing cards yet, but cool. Whatever. And I remember I got, like, my soda. I got, like, my napkin tucked in. And I open it up, and there's one, like, ridiculous hot one in there. I don't know it. But, like, you take a bite, and it just sweat. Red.
Right. Flooring down your face.
Oh, my
God. That was at the 3-alarm or the 911.
911.
Yeah. Right.
And they are just dying, laughing, pointing.
I like when people point. Like, I know it's me. Everyone yeah. here knows it's
but
me.
But, right, I mean, it was that kind of crew. Like, oh, he's hurting.
Yep. How bad was it?
It was awful. Like, I was only, like, 19 or 20. Like, I was so mad. Like, I didn't talk to those guys for, like, the rest of the play. They're like, you know, are you not coming down to play Tonk later? I was like, no, F you guys. Like, I'm out of here tonight. I was pissed.
Who got punked by a really good prank? 206-421-RUN.
They thought it was great. Johnny Johnson still tells my mom about it, you know, once a year.
Hello, Jacob. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
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 All right. So, April Fool's, one of the best days for a prank. I was at work, and all of a sudden, I've been getting, like, hundreds of messages of people saying that there's a Craigslist ad with my name on it saying that I sell chickens. So, I'm getting, like, hundreds of messages in. And I text my fiance, like, hey, what's going on? Do you know anything about this? And she swore up and down, no, she did not put a Craigslist ad up. I get home to find out that it wasn't Craigslist ad. It was her Tacoma's mom's group.
Aha.
She texted her Tacoma's mom's group saying, hey, text my fiance. He's at work about chickens. And I got some weird ones.
I bet you did. Well, hey, man, it's a pretty popular thing right now. So as far as people getting free chickens, they're going to take you up on it.
It is weird Absolutely. To me. Like, I can guarantee you, because we had a guy they called in earlier with the mini horse. Or no, Ted, you were saying mini horse.
Yeah, my buddy.
Chicken. I promise you, I would not be someone that calls you. Yeah, they're giving away a free mini horse. Mm-hmm. Like, that's great. Got free chicken. Good for them. There's no chance I'm reaching out to that number. Yeah. But it's amazing to me how many people do.
Well, see, to me, I think April 1st is the worst time to pull off a prank because it's almost expected. Yeah.
Even when you tell people the truth on April 1st, they don't believe it. BS, like, God damn it, man.
It starts as soon as you get up and check the internet. I mean, it's right there in front of you. You realize that half this crap is just crap. You know what I mean? So it's like you're already ready for any more crap coming your way.
Yeah, everyone's prepared. Yeah.
I still convince people that I wrecked my Camaro on April Fool's Day.
Do you?
I did. Yeah, they're just, I would think I was working here, and I actually took a photo that I just found online of a black Camaro that had the side just completely smashed in, posted it up on Facebook. I didn't even say it was mine. I just said, well, that sucks. And then all these people started, are you okay? What happened? My God. I was like, guys, it is April 1st.
You should have taken the day off, though.
I should have.
If you're going to go all in, go fund me, man.
Go all in. Yeah, exactly.
You know what's amazing? You had a black Camaro. Then you get in a relationship. What do you drive now?
Yeah, I drive a 2012 Volkswagen Jetta wagon.
It happens to all of us, Mike.
VD said he was laughing his ass off as you were pulling in the other day, just looking at you driving that thing.
I don't care. I love that thing.
Well, he said
I'm Marshmallow. I like it.
Yeah. He said you had your arm up around the side like you were driving with
your
girlfriend.
I did, man.
He said Mike drives like a boss.
You drive with your arm around the imaginary girlfriend?
I drive with, let's see, yeah. I got one arm up on the steering wheel at the 12, and I sit with my arm on the little center console there.
Yeah, he said you looked like a badass. It's just, but it's the car.
Car look good.
They called that the East Coast.
There you go.
Who got punked by a really good prank? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Renee. Welcome to the men's room.
Boo, bitches.
Boo. Boo.
So this happened before I was born, unfortunately, because I didn't get to see it. But my cousin managed to get a fortune out of a fortune cookie without opening it.
All right.
And then he typed up and printed out a new fortune, got it back in the cookie. And then when my uncle bit into it and read the fortune, it said, you have just been poisoned.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Golly.
So what did your uncle think?
Well, he and my aunt are divorced, so I can't ask him. I guess he spat it out and freaked out. And my cousin, who was, I don't know, like 10 at the time, was just laughing his ass off.
That's great. I always wanted to exchange it for one that says, I sneezed in your rice.
Mm-hmm.
It's always-
Also, who's biting into a fortune cookie? Don't you open it first?
Yeah, you break it.
I generally do.
Bite into it?
No. Break it first because there's a piece of paper in the middle.
I know people say what they will about that, but I think the fortune cookie is a very underrated, unique cookie.
You mean as far as taste goes?
I actually like the taste of it.
It is a unique taste, but I do not believe it is underrated.
I think it's pretty. I look forward to the fortune cookie.
Do you ever buy them?
No.
They sell.
I mean, you just get them on your takeout. I mean, I've never.
Oh, no, you like this cookie. Why don't you go buy some?
Do they have a bag of fortune cookies?
You can buy fortune cookies, man.
Of course. I'll be damned. I didn't know.
They're all have fortunes.
Yes.
You know what, man? Honestly,
otherwise, it's just a cookie.
It's a fine point. If I worked somewhere that served fortune cookies, there's no way I could not exchange all the different notes in there, man.
There's got to be a place where you can buy, like, dirty or messed up fortune cookies, right?
Hang on.
I'm pretty sure almost all the fortune cookies you eat come from one place in San Francisco.
I believe that you are correct on that, right?
Yeah. But I'm sure there's others now. I'm sure there's artisan fortune cookies.
Artisan. Makes me want to punch someone in the face. Artisan fortune cookies.
You can eat the fortune. Not safe for work fortune cookies.
Yeah.
All right.
You can get them. You can get them on Amazon. There's a 50 count.
But wait, can we customize them or do they already have the message? I
believe that they already have the message in there.
I already got my...
This is the same one that Miles is looking at, but one of the fortunes that they give you for here for the preview says, a large group of folks will see your genitals soon.
See, that's great. That should be in a regular Chinese.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, okay, I just might as well whip it out now.
Yeah. Happiness is just around the corner if sex with a hobo makes you happy.
I want it to be graphic. You said you never would, but you let him
then
do
you
it.
You should write it after that men's room happy hour yesterday. I think you'd be the best at it.
Actually, you know what I want to do?
Oh, here's one. You're effed.
Why don't we just have, like, links? Right? So you open your fortune, and then they type in the link. It's the gorilla candy noodling the other gorilla at the zoo. Right?
Or what about what were we watching the other day? The monkey with the plastic bottle?
Right. The monkey with the plastic bottle servicing himself. Like, yeah, just put little links.
This fits.
Oh, jeez.
What? What do you got?
You're totally going to blow your presentation today.
Your mom never loved you.
You need a mint like bad. It says you just ate cat.
You'll poop your pants today, but not with poop your pants. Yeah.
Here are the winning lottery numbers for September 3rd, 2010.
You will die alone and poorly dressed.
Oh, God damn.
Error 404, fortune not found.
The greatest danger could be your stupidity.
This cookie fell on the ground. Pigeon poop burns the retina for 13 hours. You will learn this the hard way.
Oh, God. We need to order those. How much are they? How many cookies?
You get 50 of them.
Uh-huh. They're being paid to love you.
Oh, damn.
Good stuff.
Someone ahead of you in line will pay with a check.
Our question, who got punked by a really good prank? 206-421-ROCK.
Hey, good news. Archie McPhee. They sell the fortune cookies.
Do they?
I love Archie McPhee.
That would be the place to get it.
Hello, Ken. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola. Hola.
All right, so the story is 2004 Easter, and we lived in a house and stuff. It's like five of us, you know, we're all bachelors and stuff. We've got women in and out. Everybody's drinking all the time, you know, and stuff. And my buddy shows up, and he's got this bag of jelly beans. I'm like, well, hey, give me some. He's like, you don't want these. I'm like, why not? He's like, these are Harry Potter ones.
Ah, yeah.
What are Harry Potter ones? He's like, oh, man, they've got regular flavors, but... there's grass and booger and dirt and vomit. And I'm like,
earwax.
No way. Oh, yeah, yeah. So I'm like, dude, give me a whole bunch of the vomits and stuff. I was like, the girls just showed up and they were bringing Easter baskets for all us guys and stuff. So I want to swap out some of the stuff for that. So I'm going around. Of course, we've been drinking and stuff, and I'm known for doing pranks. So I'm walking around trying to get people to try these Easter eggs full of this vomit-flavored jelly beans, and no one's buying it. So now I'm bummed. So now I just... put the basket down on the counter and go in the other room and start playing some PlayStation or Xbox or one of the video games in the other room and pull an all-nighter. And some of the other guys show up, you know, and stuff because they work late and get up early in the morning and whatnot, and they come out and we're all sitting around playing a video game. Our buddy that actually owned the house shows up and he's like, hey, what's all this Easter stuff? And then we're like, the girls brought it by last night. And I had completely forgotten about what I had done.
And, of course, there were regular ones in the basket and stuff, but he happened to grab the one egg that I had full of the vomit-flavored.
Oh, no.
Mm. And by this time, you know, I had forgot. I'm going back to the video game and, you know, just kind of playing, and all of a sudden you hear the crack open of the plastic egg, and he took the whole handful and popped it into his mouth. And then you just hear, you know, and I'm like, and immediately, you know how your eyes just go wide like Volkswagen, you know, headlights. And I'm like, oh, no, because you really don't want to prank this guy and stuff, because he doesn't take pranks very well.
And he owns the house.
He owns the house. Nick, he's like, what? I just ate vomit. You know, and we're trying to keep it in, you know, the tears coming down the eyes and stuff, and trying to keep the chuckles in. Somebody's got their face buried in the pillows in the couch and stuff. Somebody just kind of walks out of the room and goes into the garage for no reason. And he comes out, you know, and so he starts yelling at me, and he's cussing and swearing. I can't really go into that on the radio and stuff, but, you know, just the way that he was doing it, it just took everything, and he could see, and he's like, how is this funny? And it's like, you have no idea.
What do you mean, how is it funny? You just ate vomit-flavored jelly beans, and we're not you, so it's funny to us.
Exactly.
We tried those before, to be fair, right? So, but the thing about it is,
we knew what we were eating.
We knew what we were eating. I will give the people that made those jelly beans credit, because they taste like what they say they do. They do. I remember the earwax one. I'm like, this tastes like earwax. The vomit one, like this. The booger, all of them. And I'm wondering, like, who's the food chemist that said, I know how to recreate
make
the taste
booger
of booger.
Salty.
I actually watched a video on it. They legit went after what it's supposed to taste like. They ate grass so that they could make sure that the taste matched up. They ate vomit so that it could match up. Boogers, God, earwax. Yeah, they're authentic.
That's dedication.
Who got punked by a really good prank? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Andrea. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Hello, long time listener, first time caller.
Well, appreciate it. Thank you.
So, all my life, my dad had these pumice stones that he said he got from Mount Hound when it exploded. And he always pointed out where he found them on our way to Oregon. Every 2 weeks, we would go. Well, he passed away some years ago, and as we're giving up who gets what, I tell my mom I want those stones because of how, you know, where they came from. And she just starts laughing her butt off. And I'm like, what? She's like, we got those from the local quarry for $13. and so he took it to his grave. And then the next day I find out my mom's talking to my brother about him. He told him the same story.
That's brilliant. Especially because he took it to the grave.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best part.
He was a good prankster.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That you didn't need to know at the time.
No, you did.
Sometimes the long prank is good.
I mean, it wasn't a prank, but years ago, my wife goes out of town. I have both kids. They're 4 and 3 years old. I'm working at the Emerald City Comic Con, all right? So it's a Saturday. I'm like, guys, you got to come with me. Daddy needs to work. That's the only way I framed it. When I get there, it occurs to me, my son, he believes that every character he's seeing is the real deal. For about 9 months, and I never told him different. I let him figure it out on his own. And I'm not kidding. I would come home from work. I'm doing a radio show. Like, Dad, did you see Spider-Man today? I'm like, well, when I'm with him, he's just Peter Parker. He says hello. He's telling us my dad works with Thor.
He
works with
friends.
The Avengers. He's cool with the Predator. He knows Boba Fett because in his mind, because I said, hey, I got to work, and I did. But I'm surrounded. He's like, you legitimately work with superheroes. I was the coolest guy today. And you know what? If he still didn't know now, I wouldn't tell him.
A bunch of comedians are all chiming together on the passing of Norm MacDonald.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Norm MacDonald had this joke that he would tell all the time about Hitler. And somebody would say something about Hitler, and he's like, you know, and he's like, he's dead. I didn't know he was sick.
Oh, Jesus.
And so, like, that was one of his punchlines for this joke. I didn't know he was sick. So when Norm passed, he never told anybody that he had been fighting cancer for 9 years.
Yeah.
And every single late night guy would go up and go, I cannot believe we lost Norm MacDonald. I didn't even know he was sick. And so they really believed that this was Norm's last right. way of planning this last joke so everyone would tell his punchline one last time.
Still to come, the return of Ted versus the FCC. We've got your emails coming up next from the men's room at KISW.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.